My daughter came home yesterday with the following story. A man comes to the rabbi and says, we're having problems at home. And his wife says, you bet we're having problems. Rabbi, I want a divorce right now. So the rabbi says, what's wrong? So the wife says, every Friday night, he makes me so upset, I can't live with him. Every Friday night, in a Jewish home, the husband comes home and sings Eishes Chayil. And he won't sing Eishes Chayil for me. How could I continue? So the rabbi asks the woman, my daughter came home with the story, she's all of 11. So I was listening intently. I said, what happened next? So she said, the rabbi asked the wife to leave the room for a minute. And when she left the room, the rabbi asks the husband, why won't you sing Eishes Chayil? So the husband says, because I don't see in her an Eishes Chayil. So I can't sing Eishes Chayil. So the rabbi thought for a minute, and then he says, have you ever seen an Eishes Chayil? So the husband goes, yes, I saw one amazing Eishes Chayil, so dedicated. It was my mother. There was one, oh, she was an Eishes Chayil. So the rabbi said, you know what? Let's make a deal, and you won't tell your wife, okay? From now on, you sing Eishes Chayil and smile and shut your eyes and think of your mother. This is my 11-year-old telling me this. So I'm listening to the story and I'm going, who told you this? But okay, go on. So she tells me, so the couple go back home. And the first Shabbos, the husband closes his eyes and he smiles and he starts singing Eishes Chayil and he's beaming. And the second Shabbos and the third Shabbos, and after 2 months, well, what happens after a week or two or three is that the wife starts feeling great. What did the rabbi do to him? He says it with such intent. So he's so nice. So she starts being so nice. She says, he's really going all out for me. He's not just saying that Eishes Chayil. He's living that Eishes Chayil. So she starts making him a special dish for Shabbos. And she's standing by him and she's saying, did you like it? And was it good? And what could I make next week? And after 2 months, the guy comes back to the rabbi and he says, Rabbi, this is amazing. Now I could say Eishes Chayil and think of her. Now she's become the Eishes Chayil. Now she's become the Eishes Chayil. So that's a story my 11-year-old told me yesterday. I said, wow. I said, before I forget that story, that's going to be the next year. So that story is brilliant. That story is so brilliant. We get hung up on little things. The wife asks you, who do you love more? Your mother or me? Answer is you. Finished. Don't start explaining to her, there's the love of a mother and it's not like the love of a wife and it's two different things and you can't compare apples and oranges, which is more delicious. An apple's delicious as an apple and an orange is delicious as an orange and they can both be delicious and you can have your favorite orange and your favorite apple and they don't have to compete. Doesn't work that way. She wants to hear you and only you. And that's it. And that's the answer. And sometimes we get caught up on little things. There was a wife who did everything for her husband, everything under the sun. Cut his toenails. He would take a shower. She'd say, tell me when you're ready. I'm going to come cut your toenails. She did everything, but one thing she needed. That when they'd leave the house, he'd open the door for her. When they'd come into a building, he'd hold the door for her. When they'd park the car, he'd go out around the car and hold the door open for her. That, to her mind, was important. And he grew up in a house where a guy never did that. He didn't need her to cut his toenails. He didn't need her to do a bunch of other things that she wanted to do for him. But he also wasn't so accustomed to this idea. I'm going to go, you can't open the door for yourself? I need to open the door for you? Sounds stupid. But there are so many couples that could get caught up on stupid things. So, you're going to have your father-in-law over for Shabbos. Who should your wife serve first? So don't wait for the problem to arise. Tell her, could you please serve your father first? You won on all fronts. She did what you asked for, and you gave him the honor. You got everything. Don't put her in that bind. Tell the kids, give her father first. Now, who should sit at the table? You should sit at the head of the table. It's your house. You belong there. But honor him. Very often in life, it's about cycles. And just like that husband could get into a positive cycle, we have to try to get into positive cycles in our relationships. Meaning, very often, I shouldn't say very often, almost always, the issues that couples have are the same issues that just show up again and again and again in different ways. So it could be that she gets annoyed that you take your cell phone on a date. It could be that you get annoyed that she takes the cell phone on the date. It could be that there are little things that you're doing that annoy one another. We have to pick up on them and catch them. If we can set cycles in motion, we can get positive cycles in motion. But we got to catch them. Got to figure out what they are. What makes her happy? Different women want to hear different things. Every woman wants to hear she's beautiful. Everyone wants to hear she's very beautiful. No woman wants to hear that you think the neighbor's wife is beautiful. You guys think that's funny? No, I'm being very serious. Meaning, you could come home and say, you know, Yankel just bought his wife gorgeous earrings. He told me to look and I saw. And boy, they were stunning. And you just made your wife burn up inside. You could come home and tell your wife, you know, my niece just got a beautiful outfit. You could come home and tell your wife a whole bunch of different things, which you mean innocently. But we've discussed numerous times that a woman is always looking from a certain vantage point. Her first question in every conversation is, do you love me? So you came home and said, you know, they had a great Cholmondeley shul today at the Kiddush. And what she heard is, you don't love me. You ate the shul's Kiddush. You ate the shul's chont. So my chont isn't good enough for you. And you're standing there thinking, I wasn't talking about your chont. I was talking about the shul chont. There was a Kiddush and shul. The chont was delicious. But what's going to happen when you walk through the door and say, chont and shul was great? She's going to say, so you don't have any room for my chont, right? And you're going to say, of course I do. So go, thanks. So we have to prepare ourselves in our thought process that everything we say is viewed through the prism of, do you love me? One question. You'll say, but I was talking about chulin, I was talking about shul, I was talking about kiddush. I wasn't talking about you. Yes, you were. You're always talking about her. You're always talking about whether you love her or not, whether you cherish her. Can I trouble you to shift the drop? The camera's like right there, Gabriel. Sorry. We don't work that way as men, right? If our wife comes home and tells us, you know, Chaim, the neighbor, he did an amazing thing. He fixed the car for his wife, and he filled the gas, and he surprised her so that she when she turned on the car, the radio, she thought the radio was playing. There was a disc inside that said, hi, honey, don't just enjoy the car. Look in the glove compartment. When she opened the glove compartment, there was a gift certificate for 1,000 shekel at her favorite clothing store. Isn't that nice? We wouldn't feel jealous. We wouldn't feel like, oh, he's a better husband than me. Yes, we would. It's not just them. We also feel like sentences that are being said to us have a meta message. I heard what you said, and were you trying to tell me something? We also hear it that way, but they hear it that way much more. Meaning, for them, everything is in that scope. So, we began with the story of Eishes Chayil. We said we have to try to get cycles of positive cycles going. We went from there and we discussed that very often there are little stupid things that are always the recurring issue between couples. Then we went on to discuss that when there are little things that are important to them, we better notice them and play along. And we have to realize that a woman is always feeling that what you're saying is relevant to how much you love her. So you have to preclude with, you know, I was in shul, and all I could think about was, when am I going to get home to eat your chulin? They had a decent, really decent chon there. But doesn't compare to yours. Doesn't compare to yours. You'll say, but wait a second. Maybe the shul's chont was better. Don't tell her that. You walk through the front door and your child runs up to you and says, Abba, Abba, look at this drawing I made. And you look at it and you're not sure which side is up or which side is down and what you're supposed to look at. So what do you say if you're a good parent? You say, could you explain to me what you drew here? Show me, I want to understand. So the kid says, here's the blue and here's the black and here's the green and here's the... And you go, wow... You draw such a beautiful blue and you chose a very beautiful black and your green blends in so nicely. You can compliment, right? So we know how to do this. We just have to make a switch in our minds that this is what our wife needs. So we have to find ways to make them feel like $1 million. And we have to remember that Hashem created us and them so that we, if we only tune into ourselves, we want to put our arms around them. We want to give them that feeling that they're valuable. And they're the fitting puzzle piece. They have that need to constantly get that positive feedback from us. They need to hear it. We need to give it. So today we have a problem. We come from Western society, which has developed a very unnatural relationship between men and women. And the relationship goes like this. Right? Who calls whom? If you're really macho, so in relationships, even in dating already, the relationship looks at one another like this. Did you ever notice that? There's this game in Western society where you don't look the person in the eye and say, you know, I'm so happy I got to meet you. It was really a wonderful day. This is I'm looking forward to the next day. No, then you're a ninny. You must have nothing of value, right? So in Western society, there's this concept: play the game, play hard to get. Don't show your emotions. Don't show you're excited. Don't put your heart into it. I met a guy a week ago. The poor guy has dated hundreds of girls. So he says to me, I can't ever tell a girl I'm excited. I said, why not? He said, I'm dating a girl right now, and it's going great. And he came to me, like right after the date, he says, she just told me it was a great date, and she's excited. And I said, I'm happy to hear that. I said, you didn't say anything positive back? He said, no, because we might break up one day, and then I'll just disappoint her. I'll just hurt her feelings. I said, well, you want to get married, no? He said, yeah. I said, so how can she be excited over you if you don't give her positive feedback? You have to. Now, I encounter this on a monthly basis, that guys coming from Western culture are coming with the perspective that in a date, be macho. Don't show your emotions so fast. Maybe, you know, sometime, whatever. Play hard to get. Doesn't work that way. Torah says our nature really is that they desire the compliments, they desire the positive feedback, they need it, and we want to give it. But we might not have grown up that way. We have to teach ourselves how to do that. I will take us to a metaphor, and at this point, if there are children watching, this isn't fit for children. But there is a correlation between the physical world and the spiritual world. The physical world and the emotional world. Hashem made it that men have a much greater attraction and desire overtly to touch and connect with women. That's how Hashem made it. And when a man gets married, so his nature is that intimacy from his end can take 60 seconds and he thinks he's fine with that. It's not true. If a woman needs much more time and intimacy and she needs things to go gradually and she needs a lot more, call it romance or other things other than the act itself, well, that's also something that the man can become attuned to. There's the act itself is an expression of affection, but Hashem made it such that it's really a natural and healthy part of being a human being in a relationship, that we want to express that affection. Ah, we might not have been taught that way. It could be that the Western world has taught us other things. The Western world has made it a man's world, has made the woman an object of desire. In Judaism, the woman is a partner. The woman is something to be cherished. Mechabda yoser migufo. The halacha says, honor her more than yourself. Honor her more than yourself. Isha tovat balev. The halacha says, she desires in her heart, she doesn't tell you. The halacha says, mitoch shedimatan mitzuya o natan kirova. Because they tear more easily, because they cry more easily, you have a greater risk of transgressing the prohibition of hurting her feelings. We don't say in Judaism, be macho, be a man. So what if she's a crybaby? What's that song I grew up on? Cry baby, cry baby, cry, right? How's that go? No? A 60s song, why big girls don't cry. Right. No. So, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So, our deep, dark history. Please, that's shared. It's not true. They are more sensitive. But then they need our positive feedback. They need us to be able to express it. And express it means on many fronts. Okay, let's take a simple scene. You woke up in the morning, you're leaving. So what? How does it go? You have freshly laundered clothes? Thank you for laundering the clothes. Thank you for folding them, putting them in their place. Thank you for ironing my shirt. There are so many things to thank for. And sincerely, I don't mean insincerely, I'm going to leave for the day and I'm going to miss you today. Yeah, a woman wants to hear that. You're going to be on your way out the door and she's going to say, "I just one more thing." And you're going to think, "I'm going to miss the bus." But she needs that one more thing because she has a hard time parting with you. But you don't have a hard time parting with her. You're like, "See you later tonight when I get back. Goodbye." And you're smiling as you walk out the door. That's not what she needs. She needs a hug and a kiss. She needs you to say, "I'm going to miss you. Have a good day." You left the house. 2 minutes later, you send an SMS. "I've been away for so long. Wow. There are so many hours ahead in the day." That's what she needs to hear. "Ah, do you mean it yet?" "Maybe not yet." So you'll mean it one day. You'll get there. It'll be real. We develop sensitivities. They're different than us. It's positive that they're different than us. That's what helps us develop sensitivities that we don't have. If you go through marriage and you end up dying the same coarse man you were walking into marriage, then you've had a miserable marriage. If you've had a decent marriage, then you've learned sensitivities in marriage. That means we learn to be sensitive to their needs, which are very different than our needs. But there's nothing wrong with that. That sensitivity is what helps us develop. We have to learn to be more feminine, and in some ways they learn to be more masculine. We rub off on one another. If they are more indecisive, so then after they've had a good relationship with the man, after 20, 30 years, they will make more decisions. They will be more decisive. They will have more self-confidence. They will have more self-worth. And we will learn how to take someone else's opinion into account. And that's not being a ninny to ask for directions. It's nothing wrong with asking someone else, "Do you know, how do I get there? I don't know." There are questions that are legitimate, right? Even if I'm a big macho man, I can still ask certain things. And I can express affection, which is something men don't know how to do. And here again, we'll touch on something in the bedroom. Men think the bedroom is all about physical. You should know that to a woman, it is much more meaningful in the bedroom what you can say. If you can speak correctly in the bedroom, then you can make her far happier. It's not only about the physical. We are built so that we connect on a spiritual, emotional level. It's not just a physical connection that's happening in the bedroom. But what happens to a man when he enters the bedroom? Most men become mute. It's like they don't know how to talk. Women need to hear it even more. They need to hear affection. They need to hear appreciation. They need to hear that they're valued. And if a man can express himself well, and then he has the whole world in front of him. It is part of our weakness. We don't know how to do it. You're a great cook, except for your zucchini. So you might not say except for your zucchini, but that's what you're thinking. So that's why when you say you're a great cook, us men work through the logic, right? So right now you're thinking, is she really a great cook? How will I compliment her? Can I say she's a great cook when I really didn't like her zucchini today? You don't have to be that way. We can be emotional. And this leads us into next week's class. Just remind me, next week we will begin Be'ezrat Hashem with the topic of how men and women speak the same words but talk a different language. Men and women speak the same words but talk a different language. That Be'ezrat Hashem is going to be our topic for next week. What did we discuss today? Help me out, guys. What did we discuss today? We started with the story of Eishes Chayil. We discussed the idea of getting over the small, stupid things. Let's discover what our fights are about, put an end to them. Let's discover what gets us into positive cycles. Let's see what's important to her. And even if it's unnatural to me, let me play the game the way that fits her. They need to hear positive emotions. They need to hear that they're number one. They need to hear that they're valued. They need to hear that they're cherished. What else did we discuss today? What?
Men need to be more feminine.
Men learn to be more feminine. What else did we discuss today? I didn't hear you. Okay, what else did we discuss today?
What about
the
Shabbat issue?
That what? The laws of Shabbat, that we reviewed before. Now we're reviewing the Jewish home. What else did we discuss today? We discussed the idea that they need to hear our emotion. We should be free with it. They need to hear the comments. They need to hear that they're valued. They need to hear that they're missed. They need to hear that they're cherished, and everything they hear comes through the prism of, do you love me? Okay.